Romans chapter 13 and verse number 7. Romans 13, verse 7. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom. Here's what we're looking for. Fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Those last two expressions, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Let's go back to Psalm chapter 50, please. The 50th Psalm. The 50th Psalm and verse number 21. Now, this is a very interesting psalm, but I'm just going after a statement here of God. Psalm 50 and verse number 21. Here's what God says. These things hast thou done, and I kept silent. Here it is. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself. But I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God. And these are strong words. Lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Now listen carefully. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. I'm going to emphasize the middle expression of verse 21. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself. Now, let's go over to Psalm 96. Psalm 96. Psalm 96 and verse number 8. Psalm 96, verse 8. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Emphasize verse 8. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Now, finally, let's go to Malachi. I realize this is a lot of reading, but I'm trying to get a consistent theme here. The very last book in the Old Testament, Malachi. And I'm reading many more verses than I normally read when I get up here, but you ever see clothes going around on a clothes dryer? Well, that's like my brain. There's so many things, so we got to try to get them all together here for you. And you pray for me. I would appreciate that. Malachi chapter 1, and look at verse number 6. The very last book in the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. And listen carefully to what God says. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. Here's what God says. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests, that despise my name. And ye say, now these are the people, the priests are responding back to God. Wherein have we despised thy name? Here's what God says. Ye offer polluted bread upon my altar. And ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible or despised. And if ye offer, listen to it, and if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and the sick, you can see the progression, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Look what God is telling these people. Try what you're doing to me, you try it with the governors. Now, get a hold of this. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been your own means. Will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? Well, this is getting so strong. Listen to verse 10. Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? You know what God is saying? I wish there was someone that would close the doors of the temple. Look, verse number 10, go down the middle. Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. Let the fire go out on the altar, God's saying. I don't want any more sacrifices from you. That's what he's saying here to these people. Verse 10, I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. I love verse 11. For from the rising of the sun, even until the going down of the same, listen to it, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. God is speaking to Jews here. He's speaking to the priestly tribe of Levi here. And what a shock it must have been to them when God said, I'll be praised great amongst the Gentiles. The pagan Gentiles? That ungodly bunch? Can you understand what God is saying to these people? Look at verse 11 in the middle. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. My name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. I got two verses left. Ye said also, behold what a wearisome it is. You know what happened? Devotion for God was replaced by duty. That's sad. And ye have snuffed at it. Ye turned up your nose at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? Verse 14 is so incredible. But cursed be the deceiver which hath in his flock a male. You know what God's telling them? You have what I want, but you're not giving it to me. And voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. You're overlooking what I want, and you're giving me one of the sick ones. Listen to the Lord. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Now, what time is it? Okay. I've got a very difficult message on my mind. Some are probably not going to like me when I'm done. And that's okay. What I'm asking from you is just to consider what I'm going to say. I trust with the Lord's help. I don't want you to get your back up when I say a few statements in a minute. I want you just to listen from the Word of God, and we're just going to use common sense, okay? I have been asked these questions a number of times, and I have tried to suppress it for years, trying not to speak on it. And finally, I can't hold back anymore, so I'm sorry. Is it okay to use you when referring to God? Should we be reading and quoting from other translations of the Bible, other than the Authorized Version? Please don't get your back up, okay? I beg you to listen to me for a minute. I've been saved 17 years. I went through a period in my life, my Christian life, where I fought the standard, okay? My mind was just against the standard. It did the Christians good for hundreds of years, but Mr. Scott McLeod, well, you know, we just need change. I have no idea what we're going to change to, but we just need change. Anyone here like that? I went through that. Now I'm almost 42. I look back and I thank God that I didn't go looking for a change. I'm going to try to prove to you from the Word of God that the way we normally address God with these and thous is very, very scriptural. It is not some stuffy old person's approach to God. Okay? It is not some legalistic mentality that you have to get into. I hope you know me enough by now that I despise legalism. I'm not there at all. Christianity is not a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's all about Christ, okay? This line of ministry might be a little bit different from what you're normally hear from me, but I ask you just to consider it. What I want to try to recapture for you is just who God is. We know the expression, familiarity breeds contempt. Okay? We have that at all levels. For instance, I love my wife. Great. Okay. That's why I married her. I can get so familiar with her. Man, she says one thing to me, I've lost it. I'll chew her out. Pardon the expression. But mind you, she said to me one day, there was another sister in the assembly that said something to me and corrected me. I was very gracious. She said to me after, how come you didn't lose it? Well, I said, you're my wife. You're used to me. Well, no, see what happened? I can even do that with fellow believers. I can start to become so familiar with you. I can just say things right off the cuff. Who cares if it hurts? That whole attitude, that whole thinking creeps into our lives, and we start to then come into the presence of God, and we get so familiar, we start to forget who I'm actually praying to. Like, sometimes we think that God differs from us. I want you to listen to this carefully. God does not differ from us by degree. Okay? I'm strong, he's stronger. I'm smart, he's smarter. I'm honest, he's more honest. That's by degree. That is not who God is. God is completely different from us. God is not even in the same class as us. We are not coming to someone who is just much, much more honorable than us. We are coming to God. I want you to try to understand it this way. What determines your level of holiness? It's your conformity to the Word of God. Okay? What determines the holiness of angels, their reverence? It's, once again, their conformity to God's law. But what determines God's holiness? He doesn't have no standard. He is his own law. He is not looking to something else to determine how holy I am. God is holy. It's interesting if you go through the Word of God and you take all the attributes of God, and they're many and they're wonderful. Skill testing question. What is the only attribute that is emphasized twice and it's done in triplets? Isaiah and Revelation. Holy, holy, holy art thou. It's what's called the trisagion. It's the ultimate when it comes to holiness. And what had happened here in Malachi, here were people, this is what's burdening my little heart, is here were people and they should have known better. But it started so small. It was just a little blind animal. I'm not a farmer. I wouldn't have a clue how to determine whether an animal is blind. I remember with my kids, I used to go like this and watch their eyes move. Now, I don't know. I can't envision a priest going like this in front of an animal. I don't know. But it started so simple. Man, it was so logical. It's not much good to me. The animal's blind. I mean, I'm going to offer something anyway. I got to kill an animal anyway. Well, it looks okay from the outside. It's just a little blindness. And what started so small progressed to lame, sick, torn, very obviously a blemish. And here are these priests. I'm sure as I read this, if I'm reading this correctly, in Malachi, these priests were putting their all into it. They were sincere. They weren't sitting there going, now, how can I upset God today? How can I just defame his name? And I'm not up here, please don't get me wrong, I'm not up here saying if you refer to God as you publicly, that you are full of indignation, that you are just sort of in your face type attitude. I'm not saying that. I'm here just to try to encourage you to recapture the wonder of God. I'm trying to get you to what the world is doing to us, trying to do to us, as we heard this morning. Let's try to get God down to our level. Let's try to get God eye to eye so that we can relate to him more and he can relate to us more. Listen, nothing, as we heard this morning, will keep you in the presence of God than a proper attitude, a proper estimate of who God is. I thought of it this way. I could never give God enough honor. I could never say enough words. I could never exalt him high enough to get him up where he should be. Never. He's so far beyond me. And the privilege that I have as a born-again believer to come into his presence, like, it's simply staggering. That's why I read in Psalm 50, God accuses the nation, the people, he says, you're thinking I'm just like you. You are addressing me just like I was a common person on the street. Oh yes, I have some power, I have some ability. And God is bringing a sharp rebuke into these people. He says, stop the sacrifices in Malachi. Shut the doors of the temple. Put the fire out on the altar. I don't want it no more, God says to them. I will not accept your person. I won't accept your sacrifices. And then he turns to the Gentiles. He says, listen. There's a people out there, he says. They'll give me what I want. They will. They have got a hold of something that I am magnificent. I am so holy. I'm so mighty. And you know, I just want to start, and I want you to think about the uniqueness of God, okay? I want you to listen to these words. Uniqueness of God. Listen to Exodus 15:11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, doing wonders? Just let that sort of sink into your soul. Listen to 1 Kings 8:60. That all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God, that there is none else like him. You're not coming to, when I get down to pray, I'm not coming to just one of many gods. I'm not coming to a God that is mightier than other gods. I'm coming into the presence of the only God. The only true and living God. Why would I not want to use such reverence? Such words that are so lofty that they're only reserved for this one. Why would I want to try to use language? And I'll just say a few words here. I know this is not the attitude, but this is where the so-called religious world has gone, where they refer now to God as the big man. Now we all know that. Oh, that's too far. Or I heard another man say, well, God is my straight up G. Like, that is so irreverent. That is almost like the way that we address someone we respect this way. Well, we're just going to take that whole attitude and we're going to put it on God. I'm here to plead with you. Please don't do that. Develop early in life a reverence, a respect for God. You know, just a little practical example. Maybe this might help some people. I went through a period in my life where, I'll be honest, I just got tired of bending my knee to pray. I can justify that. The knees are bad. And the floor is hard. And the floor is cold. And I think I'll just sit at my seat in my desk and I'll just bow my head and I'll pray. You know what I discovered? I was losing something. I was just losing out. There's something so unique about bending the knee in God's presence. I don't do that with anyone else. Only God. And you know what it did for me? It enriched my prayer life. When the first thing I do when I get up in the morning, I physically get down on my knees and I pray to God. There's nothing wrong with that. That is not archaic. That is not super spiritualism. You just go through the Word of God and you just think of people that came into the presence of God. Abraham fell on his face. King Solomon prostrated himself before the ground. Ezekiel saw the vision and he just fell down on his face. The children of Israel, God came down and touched the mount and they fled for their tents. John was caught up into heaven and he simply melted as one dead. Just melted like one dead. I'm in the presence of the Almighty God. Isn't it wonderful? Here's another one for you. Isaiah 42:8. I am the Lord. Listen to it. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to any graven image. Only God is worthy of our praise and our glory. Psalm 111:9. He that commandeth his covenant forever, holy and reverent is his name. Now, I want to emphasize this again. I love to hear a young believer pray. Man, you'll get a loud amen out of me. I'm not over there with a pencil and a pen, nor are believers in the assembly going, whoop, he said you 10 times, and he tried to say thee once. No. No. That would be the wrong attitude. I'll tell you what I am looking for. If you're still praying that way 1 year down the road, there's something wrong. Please take that in gentleness, okay? Two words I'm thinking of. Attitude and submission. And I fought those. Still am. I have heard people pray, and they have used you many times. They were honoring God to the best of their ability. I say amen to it. I have been in meetings where other people have prayed and used it, and I could just feel the attitude. I'm liberated. I am going to pray any way I like. See what I mean? You know what God's assemblies need? It's people with teachable spirits. It's people, attitude is gone. It's not a legalistic thing. It's not a legalistic thing to simply submit. You know, if it ain't broke, why try to fix it? If it's working well, why try to change it? Why? What does it accomplish? What we don't understand is we don't understand the incredible history behind where all these translations are coming from. Behind where all this addressing God in this normal fashion is coming from. We are so ignorant. And I was too. And I've been studying this subject now for close to 10 years. You see, When you go back into history, the translators that worked on any version of the Bible, you know what they did? They always took the Greek language, the Hebrew language, as it was, and it was the mold, it was the stamp. And they brought that stamp to society, and society molded to it. That is God-honoring translation. But you know what you have today? Society is now the stamp. And we want the Word of God to mold to us. We are going to go against the teaching of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 where it says the natural man cannot receive the things of God. Never! Impossible to take a unsaved individual and make them understand the Bible. You cannot do it. But what does the marketing giants tell us? Word of God's got to be brought down so people can understand it. Friend, listen. I worked for the telephone company for 20 years. I know a little bit about marketing. I hope there's nobody here from Alliant. We had a reason for every promotion we brought out. Number two, it wasn't the better service. It was to get more money. Okay? You go back into the older translations, you know who controlled the translations? It was the church. You know what you have now? You have massive Bible landlords. Corporations. Zondervan. I can name a whole bunch of them. You know what they're after? They're after your money. And if we can tailor dress a Bible for this group, we'll get their money. And we'll get another Bible for this group, and we'll get their money. And we'll just keep tailoring God's Word. Watering God's Word down. We're going to try to make it so... Isn't it amazing? This whole plea of the marketing organization, we are going to make it easier. Do more people know about the Bible today? No. There is more ignorance in the world today when it comes to the Bible in spite of the 120 plus English translations. And you would think that the one last year would have done it. Every 6 months they're rolling out new ones. Can you see the deception? One thing Satan has never done. He never changed his question from Genesis. Hath God said? He hasn't changed. The Word of God tells us we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. We are ignorant. Satan is behind the scenes. I know this is going to sound so strong. You take an awful pile of these translations. I'm telling you right now, they are not God-honoring. They're not. And dear believer, just take it from someone who... I'm trying to be at your level. I'm just trying to help you, okay? Look, I don't have no chip to grind with no one. I want to see you enjoying the Lord. I want to see you bringing glory to the Lord. I want to see you going on strong for God. I want to see you happy in your Christianity. You want to know what will keep you in good stead? You just keep referring to God as thee and thou. You give Him as much honor as you can. You practice that way at home when you pray, so that when you come into the assembly, it's not a big change, because you've been praying that way all along. You can take your little King James Version, the Authorized Bible, and you can put your full confidence in it. This is God's Word. You see, what has happened? B.B. Warfield did it to us in North America. He came over from Germany after being taught there. And you know what they got him to do? And he started a whole movement. All the reformers believed this is inspired. Whatever translation they had. And you know what the German Enlightenment movement did? Only the originals are inspired. We only have a copy of the originals. And they started to claim that you cannot take inspiration from the originals and transfer them to the copies. That is wrong. Timothy. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Timothy was reading from a copy of a copy of a copy and a translation on top of that. The Septuagint of the Old Testament. Don't try to... I simply will not accept that this book is any less fallible than when Paul actually wrote on the piece of paper he wrote on. I have, and we have, the most faithful translation you get your hands on. Now, someone says, that's a pretty big claim to make. Listen, I want to help you two terms, okay? A translation versus an interpretation. They're worlds apart, okay? Some people who are occupied with interpretations, they condemn the King James because it's not an interpretation. It's not. It is a translation. Now, here's the difference. Translation, word for word. Greek word, English equivalent. There it is. And the difficulty that's in the Greek language, the difficulty that's in the Hebrew language, is therefore just transferred into the English translation. But when you are on the other side, interpretation, what are they doing? They're taking the words. We think. We judge. We are going to paraphrase the intent, what this means. That's the difference. So when you're reading a paraphrase or an interpretation, you know what you're getting? You're getting something that has been filtered by translators. It has been tailored. You know what I want as a believer? I want exactly what God said. I want no filtering. I want to know precisely. And nowhere in the Word of God did God ever say it's going to be just like sucking milk out of a bottle. That's easy. You know what God wants? You dig. Truth. Doctrines. Then you know what God did? God then came alongside of him, inspiration, and helped him to put those doctrines into words. That's inspiration. God breathed. The actual end result was words exactly breathed by God. Do you know what I look for? Oh God, illuminate it to me. There's a treasure house here of doctrine. Truth. You see, the Apostle Paul, he wasn't left, all the writers, like for instance, he wasn't left to himself. Now, here's the doctrine of the sinless perfection of Christ. Try to put it into words by yourself. No. You know why? This Bible is so precious, friend. So precious. God would not give us his words and then say, oh, well, whatever happens to it, happens to it. I just simply don't believe it. What I have here today is God's word. Now, let me end quickly. Let's go back again. There are a number of Greek words for the word ask in the Word of God, in the New Testament. You're going to notice there's two particular ones. One has to do with me asking an equal. Okay? The other word has to do with me asking a higher being. You just follow that through the New Testament and find out how people use them. Whenever the Lord Jesus prayed to his Father, you know the one he used? Equal. I'm on a par with God. Whenever people came, it's interesting to notice people that made mistakes and they asked God as if they were on the same plane, the Lord Jesus. Beautiful how the Lord Jesus corrected them. No, he says, don't forget, I'm higher than you. Let's slip to the grammatical angle. Let's get a little technical here now. There are some people that try to tell me that, well, that's just old English. I'm sorry, you're wrong. There is, get your concordance, look it up. There is a different Greek word for you. There's a different Greek word for thy, ye, thee, thine. There are different Greek words. Even when Satan comes to attack the Lord Jesus, he doesn't say, you think you're the Son of God? No, no. Look it up. Find out. Even all through the Word of God, when people address God, the Holy Spirit carefully makes sure that the writer uses the proper Greek word. So I ask you just to go through the Word of God, because I want to ask you something. Think about this for a minute. How else am I, with my limited language, how else am I to convey reverence to God? How? If I don't use different words, if it's almost like the these and the thys, it's almost like they're words that are slow, they're just for God. You want to know how I convey reverence to God? I just pick them up. I just use them. And I try to give God the best I can give him. Here's what else I'll say this. Just take this for who it's coming from, okay? How else do I show reverence to God? It's how I dress. Now you can say, oh dear Scott, we thought you were a pretty nice guy up until that point. Oh dear, you're really gone off the deep end now. No. No. Right in the chapter of Malachi, did you know what God said to them? The way you're treating me, try it on the governor. See how far you get. This is used so many times. If the Queen of England came in here, would you walk up to her and say, yo, Lizzie, what's happening? You wouldn't even dream of it. You would be making sure that your brain was locked onto your majesty. That's just built right into us. That's why I read in Romans 13, honor to whom honor is due, fear unto whom fear. I've been in court a number of times, not because I was on the wrong side of the law. I was on the right side, just to clarify that. And I'm telling you, there was all kinds of laughter in the room until the judge walked in, and then it was, your honor, hush. There's someone here that demands our respect. There's someone here that has power. You know what I'm just asking? I'm asking you to consider it. I'm asking you to prayerfully consider it. Don't get your back up. Don't say I'm trying to make you into some legalistic. I want none of that. But I would plead with those that are older than me. Don't dress down on me. Okay? I'm looking for an excuse always to do something. Continue to be a standard bearer for me. Show me by your dress and your words. Show me what reverence is. Help me to capture, as we've been hearing from Brother Cain, some people you come into their presence and you just know, this person is in touch with God. They know God. Dear believer, show me that and help me to be a better Christian.